want to talk about this
more.
We picked this topic late last week because of, I just think people aren't sharing a lot. You know, there's a concept out there of people like, oh, Mary Jo, I don't know where to go. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know how to share. I mean, we continue to have that conversation with people, and it's a, I mean, for me, it's like, okay, let's go revisit that. And it's something that we ought to all, we look at this in terms of communication skills, and we go, oh, well, I'm really good at that, Mary Jo. I can do that. And if you say that when you looked at this outline today or you looked at the topic, I want you to come from beginner's mind. And if you're familiar with the beginner's mind concept, it's kind of a Zen concept. That doesn't mean it's anti-Christian. It just means it's a concept that comes out of a different philosophy, right? But the idea is, and it's brilliant for our Christian walk as well. It's the idea of just beginner's mind is erasing all these preconceptions we have. And for us as Christians, we want to get rid of judgments and all the stuff that we have about people, because it's not for us to be out there judging. It's, you know, we're to stand on our faith, and we're to be, you know, but having a beginner's mind, being open to hear other people, open to hear what they have to say. And I don't mean about, you know, deciding to become a Muslim. I'm talking about open to hear what they say and what their life has been like. And I love the concept of really, you know, getting into good communication skills with people and learning how can I be a better communicator? Because if you said, what is the one thing that holds you back the most from being successful in Manatech, I would suggest it's your communication skills. Because if you're not getting people motivated to make a difference in their life, that means you're not carrying much influence with you, which means you probably aren't communicating very well what it is that you want to communicate, or having, it's not just the words that you're using, but the impact that you're having on the people that you're talking to. So let's talk about, let's just walk through some concepts that might trigger something for you. Some of these might be slam dunk, Mary Jo, I know about that, I do that, I don't have a problem with that, but, you know, I want you to really come with an open mind or beginner's mind and say, I thought I knew what I was doing with that, but maybe there's a way I can be better. That's the approach I want you to take in today's call. I thought I knew of that, but maybe there are ways for me to be better. So let's enhance your communication skills from today's call. And just take a highlighter, and as we go through the call today, just circle or highlight the areas that you think that you could benefit from by doing something a little different, tweaking it, fine-tuning it, and trying to improve that specific area. So the article that a lot of this information comes from, and a lot of it, of course, comes from my experiences as well, but there's the Direct Selling Education Foundation, DSEF, has a web page that has a lot of good articles on it, and this one actually came off of that website, but again, with a lot of insight from Mary Jo as well. And so I just have a reference point for you if you're looking for good information and other things, ways to grow. There are a lot of good articles and off of that site, and we'll probably use a few of them over the next few weeks because I liked some of the other ones as well to help support all of you and myself. What does your breaking the ice? So let's kick off and just talk about what does that look like? When we go out and we share with people and we're places, obviously if you go to a health fair, it's pretty easy because breaking the ice becomes rather simple because everybody that's there is there around health. They're looking for better solutions for health or better ways of helping their family or better ways of not just restoring health, but of how do I maintain the good health that I have in this world of just landmines, right? And that's what we have today. So when you're at a fair, you kind of are directed towards what the gist of the fair is. Now, you could be at a fair where there's you're just on a display, a vendor's fair, and then you've got to learn how to break the ice. But this breaking the ice, too, is I'm really aimed more at just what do you do on a daily basis? Where are you every day? Where are places that you go every day? Now, sometimes I don't get out of my pajamas, so that tells you where I go, and that's bad because it's not bad. I don't want to be value judgment around it, so I don't want to say bad. Take that back. I said that's unfortunate tech business because my prospecting will fall off if I'm not, you know, getting dressed up and venturing out in the real world. And some of us love to be homebodies all the time, but that's not the most effective way, and it's probably the least effective way that you're going to be growing your business. So the idea is, how do I get out? So I've got to get out. Where do I go when I get out? Like if you're sitting there right now today listening on this call and you're going, okay, but I don't have any errands to run. And I said, well, make them up. And people go, what do you mean make them up? I said, I don't know, make them up. is there a birthday that's coming up in the next 6 months? Well, maybe it's time to go out and buy a birthday card for that birthday. Well, but I never buy my birthday cards until the week of the birthday. And I go, well, change. It'll get you out of the house, right? I mean, is there something you need to do for church? Is there a friend of yours that's in need? Do you have some people that could, you know, just, you know, do you have a hospital visit to go to? Could you go to help somebody in their rehab? Could you go help a friend down the block who you know is having a birthday party for their kids and maybe just knock on their door and say, hey, I know that you're, you know, you invited us to the birthday party. Is there any way I can help? You know, is there anything I can do? And just break the ice. I mean, you have so many, every single thing that happens in your life, everything that happens in the community, you can't read a newspaper without coming up with 10 different ideas on what you could do in a given day. Because there's so many things happening. So get out of the house and start interacting with people. And it could be as simple as the post office, the grocery store, the things that we do almost, you know, everybody does each week. Some of us do them every day. Some of us go grocery shopping almost every day because we buy everything organic and it dies. The fruit dies after a couple days. So we find ourselves going back out again. But how are we doing that? So we get out in the public and we go, how do we break the ice? We talk about how's the weather. I think that's, I don't ever use that one, but some people do. I can talk about how bad the weather is. So you wouldn't say, how's the weather? You might say, like, Sunday morning here, it was like 30 degrees in Dallas, and it was freezing. And I, of course, my first comment to everybody is, oh, my gosh, this is the reason I moved from Wisconsin, you know. And that starts conversations sometimes with people. They go, oh, really, you're from Wisconsin? Where? And somebody else might ask that question. And that can, you can break the ice by making a statement, not just always asking a question as well. So, and I love to do it like I went to work out. On Saturday morning, I went to work out and do a step class, and I got to interact with the gal at the front desk. And it's just about taking the weather inside. And Saturday morning, it was 65 degrees. So welcome to Dallas. The fluctuations are horrific. But 65 degrees, so it was just a beautiful day, and we could talk about that. So you can talk about the weather. You probably wouldn't break the ice by saying, how are you doing? You know, you might. A lot of people use this kind of in the slang, and I want to make sure that we get that right. I'm going to talk about that in a while. But you're going to do something to break the ice, you know. And it, whatever that looks like, it can look very different. And if you have a hard time doing that, the most important thing for you to do is go out and force yourself. Go out today and say, I'm going to break the ice with at least 10 people, and just experiment with it. And it's, you know, you don't lose people, they don't fall off the map, you don't have to worry about that. There's millions of people out there waiting to hear from you, so go out and break some ice. Just, you know, have an interaction with people and see how it's going. But the problem with it is once we start it, it's like all of a sudden you freeze, and I see that happen with people and hear about it from associates. They go, yeah, well, Mary Jo, I started, and I said, how are you doing? Or I said, I talked about the weather, and then I got stuck. Because now it feels uncomfortable. And I'm going to suggest to you the number one reason it feels uncomfortable is because you're trying to manipulate the conversation. So I want you to sit back and say, I'm not manipulating anything. I just want to go out and love on people. Start with that as an opening premise. I'm not trying to manipulate anything. I'm just going out there and to love on people. So now you have a whole different approach. Your goal is to go out and love on people. So that's what I love to do, first and foremost, right? So I go out there and I just love on people, find out how they're doing, what's up in their life, what are they up to, you know, what do you do for a living? Okay, so I can start just finding out about them. So I'm a Sherlock Holmes. So you could do that. You could say, I'm going to go out and love on people. I want to go out and be Sherlock Holmes. But give yourself a role to play, and the role isn't how do I manipulate people to get them to take on a better approach to their health. That's not what you're doing. You're out there to build a relationship. So how do I build a relationship? I get to know the person. How do I get to know the person? I ask them questions, right? So that's how it goes. So that's what you want to do. So to take you out of the uncomfortable realm, make it about building a relationship. It's just a building block. Every person in your life is somebody of value. So let's go out and find out what value they have. Okay? Second, be relaxed and be in a positive mindset. These are important characteristics because you want to become an attractor factor. If you're grumpy, are people attracted to grumpy people? Are people attracted to highly opinionated people? Are people attracted to people who are very aggressive? Are people attracted to people who are cynical or complain all the time? Are people attracted? You know, what attracts people? People tend to be attracted to things that they wish they were more of. In other words, people wish they were happier. They wish they had more energy. They wish they had more. They could smile more. They wish they, you know, most people. So, and they wish they didn't have so much anxiety in their life. So, if you come across as somebody anxious, are you going to be attractive or unattractive to somebody? You're going to be unattractive. So, you want to think about that, and that's why a lot of times when people, like in doing networking and working with people in our business, we sometimes, if we're in a frame of mind that's not a healthy frame of mind, and not healthy, I mean, not from a perspective of necessarily health, but anxious or angry or something upset us, or a lot of different things that can impact our lives that cause us to go off in a direction, you know, that's not positive. And so if you're not positive and you're not happy, then stay away from the phone and definitely don't go out in the marketplace to go prospecting, because you're not going to be an attractor factor. So you want to make sure you're relaxed, you're positive. You know, other people will go, oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, I need one more person to get my all-star, my power bonus this week. And if you get all hyped up and it's all about you, that's going to be damaging as well. So make sure that it's all about them, not about you. And so don't lay on them the requirements that you have. And there are a lot of people in Matek that do that. They go, oh, Sarah, I really need you to help me win this trip. Would you like to help me win this trip to Cabo? I don't ever do that. I do see people that write articles about doing it that way to get people to pour into you and help you. But my goal isn't to get people to help me win the trip to Cabo. My goal is to get people to what? Help save children's lives and help their own health. Because both of them can be done with one action. That means getting on automatic order, buying products, buying great, great health products. So that's my goal. And Cabo is just a repercussion of that. It falls out because I'm doing what is it my passion to do. And that's what makes it different. So relax, positive, draw people in. They'll want to be like you. They'll want to be around you. It'll be an attractor factor. Yesterday, I had a gal come over to sell Girl Scout cookies. Now, I had an option. Here's a perfect example. By the way, we have a date with her. But the woman came in with her daughter, and they were selling Girl Scout cookies. Now, what tact could I take? Well, being kind of a health person, I could say, oh, my gosh, these are terrible. I can't buy them. I don't like the ingredients. I could have been all negative, right? Right. Well, do I support the Girl Scouts of America and what they're doing? Absolutely. Do I love the organization? Absolutely. Do I like their cookies? Well, I like the taste of some of them, but I know that they're not made from natural ingredients. So they're not very healthy for me or my family. So they're not something I necessarily would want to be consuming, but I love the cause. So instead of getting all over the cookies and painting it a negative picture, I got very excited about the cookies. I stayed positive. I absolutely excited about Girl Scouts of America. I got to know the mother and her daughter. I picked out a bunch of cookies because I said, I know my grandkids love them, although we probably won't eat them around this house because we really try to stay as healthy as possible. I am loving to get these. I buy them every year, and they are so funny. They go, we come to your house every year. And I go, really? And I said, that's great. So you can start, because I lost my Girl Scout cookie person. So I made that conversation with the woman and found out she had a son with CP. And I said, well, you know, I'm a certified health nutrition person, and I would love to help you. I'd love to maybe give you some suggestions. And so we have an appointment. Isn't that great? So it's simple. It just became something simple. It was very relaxed. But I had choices in this environment to either be very obstinate about what my belief system was about health and be very opinionated and very negative about Girl Scout cookies. Would have that gotten me anywhere? No. Would have I made my point about, yeah, but is it about making your point or is it about building a relationship? It's about building a relationship. Okay? And again, she brought up the concept of her son with CP and all those kind of things, so I talked about my nutrition background. I threw that in as a sideline that's what I do with the cookies, is probably send them out to my grandkids and my, because we try to eat as healthy as possible in the house, you know, and most of the baked goods we eat, in fact, all of them are things I make from scratch, from organic flours and sugars and all that stuff, and she appreciated all of that. So it was neat, but again, you want to, whether you go out or stay in, you see the choices we can make that are going to create different results. Being negative and very argumentative and very highly opinionated is going to shut the other person down. So you want to, and the other thing you want to be aware of in this whole arena, which isn't in the outline under number two, is the, also the fact that you can do some searching to find out what personality quadrant they're in. So you can be with in their personality quadrant. People love the most people that associate with them in their own quadrant. And that's the value of understanding, one of the many values of understanding personality quadrants or matrix, is that you can join them in their quadrant. Okay, so that's, be relaxed, positive mindset, very important, very critical, and don't be so anxious to be blurting out all your knowledge and all the brilliance that you carry. Instead, be helpful, honoring, loving, caring, all of those things. Number three follows right in the same thing. Smile and say hello. Smile and say hello to people. You know, that just shocks people. I walk down the street with a big smile, and it's amazing how many people look at me like I came from Mars or the moon. I mean, we have a society that doesn't carry a lot of joy with them as they're walking, do they? Or as they're going around shopping or in the malls. It's a problem, and it's a problem that I've seen more and more grow more and more over the years, and so we need to be different. When we show up with that big smile, we're going to be different, and people are going to be wondering, I loved it when I've had a couple of people over the years now that looked at me and said, I want to be whatever you're on. You know, it's like they're asking if I'm on some kind of drug or something, and I think that's part of it's the smile, part of it's the energy level, all of that goes combined in it. Number four in the outline, how are you doing? Again, this is that question. It's not a bad question, but it's a question that needs to, because the reason it's a good question is because it reflects a simple and caring greeting. Now, are there ways to say it that you lose that? Yes, like, how you doing? You know, more of a slangy thing. So I would try to stay with things that are really saying it in a way that expresses that you're concerned. My brother did it better than anyone I ever knew. He said, how are you doing? He emphasizes that are. How are you doing? Isn't that a fun thing? I mean, I never heard it. Cliff was the only one that had that just about him to do it that way. But it's important that you really show sincerity in when you ask that question, that you really do care about the other person. And that's why it's a great line as long as it's said appropriately and you really mean it. Some of us are so caught up in our own stuff, we tend to care less about other people around us. Well, let me tell you, the one way to get over all the stuff you're caught up in is to start focusing on other people instead of yourself. Refocus that brain and watch what happens to the stuff around you. It's amazing how that works all the time. Okay? So start focusing on others. Really care about them. Next, be an active listener. What is an active listener? Well, a lot of you have been around and had taken different classes or courses and read materials on active listening or empathetic listening. And that's really, you can find that in many, many books. Carol McCall's one of my favorite. In fact, she did a call for us on a Monday call, and I should have her back because she's so awesome. And you can go back and re-listen to that. It was a few years, about 4 or 5 years back, that she was a guest speaker on my Monday call. But the idea of active listening versus passive listening, active listening just takes you to be the person that's involved in a way that you're asking questions, you're hearing the other person, you're not expressing your opinion. In other words, you're not telling somebody they're wrong. You're not, you know, and thank goodness our politics are over, at least for the election, because that was all about wrong and right, and it's black and white. Everybody wants to paint these pictures this way. And it's so ludicrous because it just causes more dismay and more dysfunction and more regrets and more hurt feelings and harmed relationships. And we are all about relationships. We're about being in relationship with people. So we want to stay away from, so I tell people to stay away from politics. Don't discuss politics with people. Just stay away from it. It's a hot topic and people get so emotionally charged, you just lose them before you ever get started. If there happens to be a difference of opinion, it's just long gone. So no matter how expressive you are, if you're trying to influence people's lives, politics probably isn't where you want to start. Okay? You want to listen to people, hear them out, and ask questions. Find out where they're coming from. showing a sincere interest. What's another? What's active listening? What about you? What do you do with your eyes? You make eye contact with the person. You're not looking away. All of these different things that you do, fidgeting, grabbing your arm, crossing your arms in front of you, that's very defensive posture, backing up, defensive, don't come near me. There's all these physical things that you do that throw out words. They mean something. And so be careful. Learn what you're doing. You first got to understand what you're doing in conversations that could be totally setting somebody off. So you want to be gentle with your, if you're sitting at a table, you want to just cross your hands in front of you very gently with one palm over the top of the other hand. And just be very relaxed, very, very relaxed. Don't be gritting, don't be crossing your arms, don't be fidgeting, be quiet, no fidgeting. Make eye contact, and then just listen, hear them out. You need to learn and learn and learn. All of us do. My whole goal in life is just keep growing. Remember green and growing? So when people start expressing things to me, I just open up and want to learn. It used to be for years as a lawyer, it was always about being right. It was always about you're wrong, I'm right. So I had to interface it every moment I could. Today, it's a totally different ballgame. It's amazing how I came out of lawyering and was effective in network marketing because my listening skills were very, very poor for years because we're battlers, we're fighters, right? And there's plenty of time to fight out there, but it's not when you're trying to build a relationship with somebody. You can have more influence over their life by being a great listener than you'll ever have by being a great talker. Isn't that a fun thing to know? You can have much more influence over somebody by being a great listener than you'll ever have by being a great talker. So those of you who sit back and say, I'm afraid of what I might say, it's not about what you might say, it's about how you listen. Keeping eye contact, that helps, again, focus on the person, shows that you're involved in active listening, and shows you're interested and truly care. All of those things you're screaming out there by making that eye contact. Speak naturally, simply, and be yourself. In other words, we're no longer in that age of artificial manipulation, all of that. That's all out. Natural is in today in networking. So you want to make sure that you're out there just being as natural and real as possible to everybody that you're talking about. Make it a comfortable setting, not uncomfortable. You shouldn't be saying things or doing things that cause discomfort because that's going to chase somebody away. You want people to relate. You want people to feel important that you're pouring into them. And I do this when or what. I mean, I'll find somebody and I'll go, hey, let's go have lunch. Let's just talk, da-da-da. We'll talk. We might bring up Manatech, maybe not. But it's just how can I support you? How can I help you be better? How can I help you, you know, with your business? Is there a way I can support you in your business? So all that is really fun to do because it's all about focusing on the other person and being caring and giving and loving with another person, and that's what it's about. It's about naturally, simply being yourself. And if you're naturally, simply not a caring person, then I might suggest you work on self first because that's important to get there, right? Number 8 in the outline is asking other questions, how, when, where, what, why, all those kind of things. In natural selling, if you're familiar with Michael Oliver's book, it's all about asking questions. It's all about pursuing. And that is what shows you're interested in the other person, that you care about their opinions, where they are, instead of being expressive about where you are and giving your opinions and your assertions, you're going after other people. And if they ask you a question, you answer, and then you turn it right back on them. So you go right back to them because you want the focus to be on them. Form is another great thing, and we've gone over this 101 times. You've heard it in Manatech. It's in the workbooks. It's all about getting a concept of where to start with questions if you don't understand. And the whole reason form was developed was because people get awkward in conversations. So form means family, occupation, recreation, and motivation or mission or money. Those M, I've seen M have so many different meanings out there, but whatever makes sense to you. I like to look at it as kind of mission. I mean, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with your life? What would you see yourself doing? And that's a good question. I mean, but that is not an appropriate question from the time you say, hi, how are you doing? If you had all the money in your life, I mean, because they're going to be suspicious of where that's coming from. Right? I mean, so you want to be careful to walk through just normal steps up front first. As you build a relationship, you can go into more details like that. When you talk about somebody about their job, you know, what's exciting is to find out whatever got you attracted to this. Get them back to thinking about what what caused them to go into this field? Because some of it's great stuff. It'll give you great information about what motivates them, what caused them to get active the first time they got involved and decided to choose an employment in an area. And it's a great, they love to talk about themselves. They love to go back, and it causes them to go through memory lane. Some of it's good, some of it's not always good, but most of it is they love the fact that you're giving them a lot of attention. And it shows a sincere interest, because it's not just superficial about what do you do for a living. It's about how did you get involved in the field? You know, I'm interested. Or you could say, I'm inquisitive. How did you get started in doing architecture? You know, or whatever it is. And what do you really enjoy most about your job? That's a great one, too, because it gets people off started on a very positive note. And towards the end of the conversation, a lot of times I ask the question, and are there things you don't like about your job? Yeah. And they'll start. And you can show empathy. Got it. And showing empathy doesn't look like this when they say, well, you know, one of the things I don't like the job is I don't like having a boss. You go, oh, I know exactly what you mean. Blah, 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 blah. Wrong. How many of us have a tendency to do that? Oh, my gosh, I used to be an addict at that. Ugh, no more. Thank goodness that addiction's gone. Yeah, because I had to see what I was doing. I was just overwhelming people. I was just like taking over, taking control. You don't want to take control. You want to give them. You're in control. The person asking questions is really the one in control. When you think you're in control, it's really when you've gone out of control and people start shutting down. Again, this is about lifting this person up and making them bubble and become effusive. If you can get that out of a person, if you can get a person really happy and excited before you leave, you win. You win. But when you drown them in all of your stuff, you lose. So it's not about you, it's about them. So keep focused on them, and then you ask what things that you don't like about your job, and they'll say da 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 da. And that can lead you to a position that you can help make the next move, which I love the Michael Oliver approach. I love when he says, you know what, I might have a solution for you, and I'd love to share it with you. When would be a good time for us to get back together? Or, you know, there's something I'm working on right now that might really be an answer to your prayer, and I'd love to share it with you. I mean, it's just fun. And if they start asking questions about it, if you're not ready to share, I suggest that most people don't want to spend 20 minutes the minute they first meet you. So you want to go, you know what, it's going to take us 15, 20 minutes. Let's set up a time where we can have coffee together. I really enjoyed this conversation, and I think we're going to be, you know, I don't think we'll have a problem getting along. You know, I don't think we'll have a problem seeing each other again or something like that, right? I mean, it's just kind of a fun thing. So you can walk it down that path. But it's you want to get that language down. And you want to, some of you are in the call right now going, oh, I can't write fast enough. I want you to get it written down. For some of you, if it doesn't come naturally, and that's what you build. You build into it, into a rapport. You can start with scripting a little bit because it's going to then become part of your natural communication. But these are important things. When you instead of jumping over and go, I have the perfect answer for you, why wouldn't I ever use that language? Because it somehow shuts them down, like they don't have the capability of coming up with a good answer, or it elevates me. I don't want to take them out of the decision-making process. So that's why I like to say, you know what, I may have an answer for you, or I might have the perfect solution for what you're talking about. And I don't usually use the word perfect, too, because it sounds too good to be true. You want to be careful with too good to be true words. So it's like, you know what, I may have a solution for you, or I may have something you'd really like to look at, because I've been working in this field, in the health field, for a long time, and there are solutions out there in a natural way. You know, something like that. Soft, gentle, and not, I absolutely have the perfect answer. Not absolutes, okay? And so questioning people and asking questions can help lead to solutions. It'll help uncover things. It'll help bring camaraderie. Continue active listening throughout the entire conversation. It doesn't start and stop. It continues through the whole thing. So the minute you find yourself telling again, you got to stop and go back to questioning. Turn it back around. Just take that conversation and turn it back around and say, oh, thanks, I'm glad you asked me that question, but let me ask you this, you know, after you've answered it. But let me follow up with this. Right, so you are continuing to be the one that's actively listening, not being the active talker. And if you find a topic that both of you are interested in the process, like at, you know, I mean, what a blast. Stay on the topic. You can say, oh my gosh, I love to knit. Are you kidding? When did you start? See how immediately, I love to knit. I didn't go into everything that I've done in knitting in my life, but, and some of you are laughing on this call because you go, Mary Jo knits? Anyway, I guess I started knitting when I was a little girl, like at 4 years old. My mother was, you know, a dress designer, so she got us into sewing and knitting and all that stuff early on. But, you know, it's just, and I turn it right back and go, so when did you get started? How long ago? What have you done? And, you know, are there fun yarns that you like to work with? Oh, yeah, I love that, too. I love that fuzzy stuff with the knots and stuff, yeah. But what about this, and what have you done lately? And do you sell any of your stuff? You know, and, you know, I mean, it just gets to be fun. You just have fun because both of you now can talk in a way that there's camaraderie because you have a similarity. It's like finding similarities between you and another person, and there always are some. If you just dig deep enough, you go through form, you're going to find some. And then what do people like? Why was it important for us to stay on topics that we're both familiar with? Because familiarity leads to people being comfortable. You don't want to make the other person uncomfortable. And that's what we have a tendency to do in Manitech when we go out there and we just volcano and spew lava all over people about glyconutrient technology and blah, 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 and Nutriverse, the best product in the marketplace. Everybody ought to be taking it. There's not a person that can't afford it. But I mean, now we're making the other person uncomfortable because they feel like they're being sold. Or you're the genius and they're dummy. You know, don't ever get to that point. You can, and somebody says, okay, Mary Jo, so how do I make somebody feel smart about health? And go, are you familiar with what's going on with our genetic modification of foodstuffs? Have you seen any of that in the news? And then I go, oh yeah, I just read about this study out of France that talked about tumors. And I go, oh, you are so smart. I am so glad to see that you're on top of that. You know, a lot of people don't even bother reading that because they think it's some kind of like conspiracy or something. When the reality is, you know, look at our health today. Are you familiar with what's going on in the U.S. and our health care, you know? And so you ask them questions, and then you honor them by being so smart or being, you know, just being on top of it, you know, because people, that's important. People want to be that way. They want to be acknowledged, so you can acknowledge them. And then you end the conversation. How do you end a conversation that you're out there when you're sharing with people? Always plan on seeing them again. Okay, you can even say, you know, I'd love to meet up with you again sometime. Maybe we should exchange information. This is fun. Or when you talk about, I might have a solution for you, you make plans, right? So you want to exchange business cards, make a quick note on the back. You know, I like to handwrite on notes because I don't want it to look like, I don't want to take a notepad out that has 100 other names on it to make it look like that's my, I'm soliciting people. So you want to make it really informal, which is you typically taking a card out and using the back side. One of the problems with the Navigate cards is they're printed on both sides. So I went back to my original card as well, where it had a blank back. So I can write people's information and take their information back on with me on that and get back in touch with them because it makes it look much more informal. And you could connect on a social media network. You could agree to Facebook each other or whatever. You know, that's all of that. It depends on how active you are on Twitter, Facebook, all the different LinkedIn, whatever it might be. You can offer all of that up as well. You want to end it. The other reason you want to end the conversation is that you don't want, when they start ending the conversation, they're kind of pushing back on you. You want to end the conversation because you're a very active, busy person who has many things to do in your business. So it reflects well on you that you're not just a vagrant walking the streets, being able to spend endless hours with anybody that happens to show up in your pathway. You don't want to give that impression. You want to give a professional impression that you're active and you're involved in lots of people's lives, and this was just such a blessing that we ran across each other today. You know, is that cool? I'm so happy I got to meet you. And let's get back in touch. Okay? So take it upon yourself to do that. How many can raise their hand on this call and say, Mary Jo, I've never ended the conversation. The other person always has. Right? Because we've talked so much and we've tried to capture too much of their time. And on a first time breaking the ice and getting to know somebody, you know, most people don't have a half an hour to spend with you. You might have all day, but they don't do what you do, and you want them to. So teach them the right way to do it so that you're, you know, in a way that you're going to help build them to be more effective when they get out and start sharing. All right, practicing your communication skills is the best way to get better, and I highlighted this earlier. You want to think of conversations as like dancing with a partner. If you know, oh my gosh, my husband doesn't dance at all. When I first came down to Texas, people taught me, and I love ballroom dancing. I did ballroom dancing in Wisconsin. I came down to Texas, and somebody taught me the Texas two-step, and I go to some of these barn dances and stuff with my cowboy boots. Oh, my gosh. Yes, I have a pair of cowboy boots. Anyway, they're in the closet collecting dust, but Lydia says, don't say it too loud. Don't admit it, Mary Jo. But I love to do that. But if you've ever danced, you understand that fluidity of dancing comes only over time and practice. And that's the same way with conversation. Fluidity of conversation comes only with time and practice. And never getting to the point where you think you're great. Always being open for further improvement. Because if you think you're great, you're never going to get better. So you can think, hey, I do a pretty good job. That's fine. But always have room for improvement. Always be ready to improve. Just like dancing with your partner. There's always room for improvement. So think of conversation the same way. So there's always room for improvement. So how is it that I can be better? How is it that I can be more effective in my communication? And the more you do it, the more fluid you become. And that's what one of the problems is with a lot of people in Manatech. You know, a lot of us, you know, had our patented responses. We talk about testimonials. We talk about everything that happened with people's lives and lupus. And we had a down pat. Then the Texas AG came in and stopped us from using testimonials, which is where we should have been from day one. Well, it just like was an absolute breakdown for people because they had their communication, they had down pat, and now all of a sudden they didn't know how to share. And, you know, sharing about health and the importance of taking on health and taking on fighting what's happening in our society because the healthcare costs are just spiraling out of control. And the number one way we can counteract that is just by all choosing more responsibility on our own health. And that's a fun conversation to have with people. So I don't know what the problem is except for the fact that we got so adjusted the way we were doing it that people, you know, somewhere out there we decided we couldn't change. And boy, is that let's be green and growing, not ripe and rotting. So let's step into this and have more fun with going out there and talking about what's going on. And there's always things in the news about health, and there's always things coming up around health that just are fun things to talk about that you can share with people. But you have a passion, you know, to really help people understand real food technology and why it's important and how to afford it. You know, that's a neat conversation to have with people. I said, you know what I do? I help people afford real food technology so that they can help their families stay healthy. And they go, what? Because most of them, their first preconception about eating healthy is they can't afford it. So what if that's the new line you use? I help people afford healthy lifestyles because today, you know, our foodstuffs are just so deteriorated in value that people need to get out and start taking back control of their health. And that's what I love doing, is supporting people with an affordable approach to keeping healthy. Yeah, so it's kind of a neat thing, so you can talk about that as well. So, but practice, practice, practice. The more you do it, the more fluid you become. And what I suggest is build a plan and stick to it. In other words, you know, let's say you're going to talk to 5 people a day. You know, you're going to talk to 5 people a day. So just make a plan. Just make a commitment. And that's usually how I start people when I do coaching with people. I like to start out and I go, okay, I want you to go out to, especially with people that are doing network marketing for the first time. I tell them, I want you to go out today and I want you to talk to 5 new people. And they like freak out. And I said, you don't have to bring up Manatech. I just want you to break the ice. I want you to start talking to people just on the streets, in the post office, at the grocery store. Just start opening communication with people. It's so simple to do, but you know what? It's also simple not to do. So many of us want to stay private and just in our own world. Well, if you want to stay in your own world, then you're never going to create results in other people's lives. I mean, why are you here on this planet? Is it all about you? Whew. Open the eyes, open the door. It's about everybody. And what a joy it is, and what joy we get when we can step into other people's lives and really make a difference. So let's go out there and make it about everybody else. So that's why we go out and talk to people. So we find out their needs, how can we support them, how can we best step into their lives and care about other people, be with them. So talk to 5 people a day, just practice communication skills. That's not practicing sharing magic, it's practicing just basic communication skills. Step 1, baby steps, 5, 5, 5, 5, and then you can start going, okay, now I want you to make the next step. When you get to, let's talk about form, let's talk about where we're going with it. Now we can take the next step. Okay, now let's introduce Manatech. Somewhere in the conversation, you don't have to use the word Manatech, but just about what you do for a living, right? And that you love, and maybe because of this, this, and this, maybe you can make a difference for them, and I'd love to share some more. Let's do Starbucks next week or something that puts you on a track with them, right? The 13th item on the list was putting yourself in more social situations to practice your communication skills. That also takes a plan. You know, Lydia and I talk about that. We talk about talking to at least 5 brand new people on a weekly basis. Now we're stepping it up because of the incentive. But the idea is that a lot of times we didn't get out of the house. So all of a sudden Lydia got a hold of the, you know, the Friday has a little thing about all the upcoming events, especially over the weekend. And we end up going to something. I mean, this week we went to the rodeo on Saturday night. I mean, who knows, you go to a rodeo. But you meet people at the rodeo, right? So, and we had some people from Brazil in town, so that was fun. We combined it all with that. But they're just different things. Last Thursday we were at a entrepreneur seminar, and it was great. We went to an entrepreneurship seminar, a day seminar, and we met a bunch of people in that realm as well. And that's fun to do. So it's just going out and being involved in social activities, whether or not there's something that you view yourself as intrigued or really knowledgeable on or wanting to grow in knowledge on or not. It's just exposure. It's how do I get exposure? So it doesn't have to be, now I'm not going to tell you to go, you know, to something that's totally contrary to your value system. No, you could, but there are 101 things out there that, I mean, I'd never been to a rodeo before. Did I want to go? Well, not necessarily. I'm not real attracted to all that stuff. I'm not a cowboy. I'm not a cowgirl. I was raised in Wisconsin, and, you know, that's not really my highlight thing. But it's very cultural for Texas, right? So it was kind of a neat thing to do. But it was a way of, again, putting yourself in a social setting to practice communication skills and to meet new people and get new contacts, because you really want to build your contact list. Whole goal, you want massive. You want thousands of people on that contact list. But you want to have relationships with them, not just have names, but have a relationship, right? And then another thing you can do is you guys record yourself and start with a basic communication script to improve quickly. I think that's the fastest way to come to improvement is to record yourself and get feedback. Send it out, give it to a number of people, get some feedback, listen to it to yourself over and over again, and get some feedback. Again, you want independent third party, people that you respect or honor that are doing great in this business, and get some feedback. Every one of us can improve. And the important thing about all of this communication is the reality is so incredible that if we just increase our effectiveness rate by 10% over, because we share so much in this business, over a year period of time, that could be $2,000 to $5,000 of extra income on a monthly basis in your life. If you improve by 10%, it could hit your bottom line $2,000 to $5,000 monthly. It could make the difference between you being stuck at regional or becoming an executive director in Manatech. It's huge, the difference that can be affected just by improving 10%. So the idea is, because we do the activity repetitive, we do it over and over and over again. If somebody improves their serve in tennis just by 10%, that might mean the difference between in the Wimbledon final and being, you know, taken out in the first round. Because they do it over and over and over and over and over again. So it has a tremendous impact on everything that you do. All right, I finished the call with why are great communication skills so important for business. Having great communication skills help build relationships. And for the average person, it's about feeling accepted, bonding with others, and creating joyful experiences. Successful businesses use communication to weave both concepts in order to maximize growth and loyalty. And that is what we're truly about in networking. So I love you guys. I hope this helped. Maybe there's some areas, like I said, take that highlighter out and say, what am I doing, not doing? What do I need to do differently? because sharing is what we are all about. It's about pouring into other people, sharing with other people, how can I help impact other people's lives? And that's what we're here on earth to do in my book. So network marketing is just one of those perfect, perfect methods of us getting out there and meeting new people and getting to know people and helping other people's lives. All right, any questions before we close today? Anyone have any comments or questions? Did this help any of you guys? Shake the tree a little bit, get you moving again.
There you go. This is Diane. I missed your first introduction, I'm sorry. But does everyone know that there is a link being passed around that we can actually vote on the number one or the top 100 CEOs and our Dr. Rob Stennett? We want to get him to number one. Mona V is number one. Dr. Stennett, I believe, is number 40. That did you put that link from Marion so that everyone can vote and get Dr. Rob up there to be in the top number one of the top 100 CEOs of the company?
Great, great. I will say, if there are people on the call that don't have it, I will be more than happy to send that out to everybody on my Monday call. How's that? And you can
Great.
Okay. Thanks for bringing that up.
I just got that last night.
Absolutely.
Thank
and we
you.
Just got. We doesn't take very many for us to win that event for Dr. Stennett. And we know. Okay. Lydia already sent it out. Oh, Lydia sent it out. It's in everybody's mailbox. So take a peek at it. You all guys should all have it. Woo! She's on top of it. Absolutely. Great. Good. Thank you for bringing that up. I think it's awesome. All right, anything else? Everybody else fine? Okay, so what are we doing this week? We're going to go out and share. We're going to really work on improving our communication skills. We're going to be out there doing what it takes. Take the concepts that we talked about today, things that just struck you, like going, you know, I'm not doing that, or I'm not doing it quite like that, or maybe that's a good idea, or maybe that's something I could add. Just everybody's a little different. It didn't matter. You could hear 10 different presidentials give a training like this, and they're going to say different things. So we all do things differently, so it's not one that's better than the other. But the idea is to work on your own communication skills, always. They are not something, we're not born great communicators. We need to learn how to behave around other people and what's the best thing to say, not to say. And I find that the most important thing that we need to do is sit back and think before we speak, because that will protect you from getting too outrageous and doing things too crazy and all the other stuff in it. So think before you speak, and you'll see how awesome it all works out. Okay? All right, everybody, love you all. Have a great week. Don't forget, end of business period. Vote for Rob Stennett. Get yourself registered for Manifest, and we'll talk to you next Monday morning. Bye, everybody.